Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Friday, December 20th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us right now in the live chicken chat room. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro. We'll be back right after this short commercial break.
Menapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Menapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Menapro, nurturing life.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Menapro's oyster shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Menapro's oyster shell for your pullets and layers.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is a brisk, cool Monday here. Just brisk, brisk, and cool. Let me tell you, another great episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to welcome my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, author, all-around great person, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, Whisperer. Yeah, it's always great to be on the show. Oh, boy, what a wonderful weekend this has been leading up to the holidays here. It's just, I just keep eating and eating, I think. I'm afraid to get off the scales. How are you doing? How was your weekend?
It was absolutely wonderful. This is a paramount moment. Jen and I, we are actually broadcasting live from the big metropolis of Ideal, Georgia, population 419. We literally just got DSL internet service approximately 2 hours ago, and so we were sweating it there for a little while. Yep. So we weren't sure because, you know, we've had the little farmhouse for about 3 years, no TV, no internet, no phone, no nothing, and that's the way we like it. But due to the fact that we like to spend more time down here, and we didn't want to cancel too many radio shows over the break because some people go ahead and have conniption fits if they can't listen to us every day at noon. So we wanted to make sure we keep our listeners happy, so we did what we could, and lo and behold, I'm sitting in the living room of a 110-year-old house right now, and old farmhouse just sitting here, and we got the a lot of things are going on around here. So if you hear a little hammer in the background, this, that, or the other, you might even hear a tractor drive by in the front of the house. You just never know what you're going to see or hear down here. May hear the train whistle in the background as well as the train comes through town. So we're very excited to be able to broadcast live from the city of Ideal, the only Ideal city in the state of Georgia. So how cool is that? So I wanted to got a great show lined up for everybody today. It is another the first and third Mondays every month, the Preparedness Show with Aaron Mackley. Today, Aaron will be joining us here about half past the hour. We're going to be talking all about different types of cookers, pressure cookers, Dutch ovens, volcano cookers, canning, or actually pressure cookers. So all kinds of different types of cookers that that you may have if you have power or if you don't have power on the Preparedness Show today with Aaron Mackley. So we've got that coming up today. But other than that, having a great weekend. It's been a little chilly. You know, lows have been down there around, not like it has back when it got down to 12, but it has been quite cool. But we're managing with that. Not a problem. But we did have an absolutely wonderful weekend. Now, we will be broadcasting live today, obviously. We'll be broadcasting live tomorrow. But Pat and I will be taking Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off. We'll come back and we'll broadcast, I think, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. Possibly we'll just have to see, and we'll keep you informed on our holiday schedule. But we'll be here today with you. We'll be here tomorrow with you. And then we're going to take the rest of the week off and enjoy friends and family. And we've got very interesting guests coming on. I know you're going to love tomorrow. Pat, tell us about our guests coming on the air tomorrow.
Well, I haven't gotten confirmation quite yet, but I've got a couple of candidates coming up. So let's keep it a surprise before we announce it. And it'll be good, really good either way. So
very good.
Cover my charts there.
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. So we will be broadcasting live tomorrow regardless. We'll have a great guest opportunity for you, I assure you of that. And so, and of course, we'll be giving away some great prizes. Today, one lucky listener at the end of the radio show during our chicken trivia contest is going to win a hen saver, hen apron from Crazy K Farm. They sponsor every Monday show. So one lucky listener will be going away with a hen saver, hen apron today if they know the answer to today's chicken trivia question tomorrow. EdCartons.com will have a great prize for us. So very cool. I just want to take a moment. If you didn't listen to Friday's show, you really need to go back and listen to the archive because it was truly amazing. I almost kind of felt like felt a little bit like Oprah making lots of good things come to light. And with Ovis Hill Farm, the bad news, Ovis Hill, 10 days ago or so, had a barn fire. Barn burned to the ground, lost everything, over 500 animals, over about 400 chickens, and then 110 lambs, their brooders, their waterers, their feeders, their feed, everything, total loss. And so we got on the horn and started making some phone calls, and I'll probably forget somebody because I don't have it all written down in front of me here that's up in Atlanta. But we've got, I know we've raised over $500 cash money for them. Through all of our great listeners and supporters and followers and fans, we've got over 2,000 pounds of ManaPro feed for them, donated by ManaPro, 2,000 pounds of feed. We got 100 baby chicks from Randall Berkey heading that way. We got 500 baby chicks from Mount Healthy heading that way. We got four 5-gallon waters from Chicken Whisperer, Inc. We got four 22-pound feeders from My Pet Chicken. Let me think what else we got. A beautiful brand new commercial heated brooder box from GQF Manufacturing. And so all that is heading that way towards their farm to get them back on their feet. And it looks like we're probably going to be a little delayed, but we'll probably get the feed to them, and we'll get out there one of the first couple of weekends in January. And so based on them getting things together, getting what they need, their out-of-town trip to see family, the holidays, the whole nine yards, is it looks like one of the first couple of weekends in January is when we'll make the trip up there and broadcast. Well, maybe we'll do a Saturday morning show special live on location from Ovis Hill Farms when we take them that 2,000 pounds of ManaPro feed when we take that up to them. And by then, they will have gotten their waters and their feeders and maybe some baby chicks in, their brooders from GQF. So when we get up that way, they'll be all prepared for that. So if you missed it, there's a great show back on Friday. It was so listen to the archive if you can. You can listen to the archive on, of course, iTunes. You can listen to Blog Talk Radio, podcast.com, zoom.com, and all of those. Let's go ahead and get into some chickens in the news. Do you have any to share with us today, Pat?
I do. I have one of the most amazing spectacles to bring to our listeners here. Do you realize that tomorrow, of course, is the winter solstice? But not only is it the winter solstice, there's going to be a total lunar eclipse on the winter solstice. Then it's going to be stunning. The last time this happened was over 632 years ago. So this is a pretty special evening. And how it's going to be, and I'm going to set my alarm. The time to go out and look at it is about 3:17, is what, according to NASA. That's when it's going to be. It's a total eclipse. But what's amazing is because of the broad sweep of this particular eclipse, it can be possibly viewed by more than 1.2 billion, with a B, people on the planet have the possibility of seeing this particular eclipse. I mean, talk about a focus of energy and thought on one particular action. I mean, that puts the Super Bowl just in really small numbers.
Wow,
compared
to
what this is.
And even Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show. I mean, we have a run for our money now.
Yeah, but it took a stellar event to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, we're going to have to, man, let's see, the eclipse or Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, I don't know, that may beat our broadcast record of number of listeners. It may be close.
That's funny. Well, imagine, Just imagine, though, Whisper, of the possibilities. If all the people in the world would look upon this amazing eclipse, and it's going to have a little reddish tint, and I can talk about that a little bit, but if we all focused on it and wished for peace and goodwill among the planet, don't you think that would be a force that would help maybe us get over so many of our phobias and fears and hates and grudges and just the situation of war? Anyway, that was just a thought I had, kind of gave me chills. Yeah, so it has a viewing audience of about 1.5 billion people. It can be seen from Asia, including Korea and much of Japan. It can be seen in its entirety from the North Island of New Zealand and Hawaii. I mean, it's through a lot of Europe as well as all across America. So this is a kind of, golly gee, holiday cosmic event that just is not to be missed. So the time to see it is, according to NASA, 3:17. It starts just about, let's see, what time did it start? It's going to start around 6:15, it's on December 21st, so it's in the early morning. No, I got that wrong. It corresponds to 1:15 Eastern time is when it starts, but about 3:17 is the peak time. So,
set your time to go out. That's a.m., 3:17 a.m.?
Yes. 3:17 a.m.
Morning. So let me get this straight. I have to set my alarm. I have to get out of my warm bed. I have to put on some warm clothes. I have to walk outside and look straight up into the air and look at this moon disappear.
Well, it's not just the moon disappearing, Whisper. It kind of is said, in fact, this might be a trivia question. I don't know if we want to use it or not, but where did these lines come from? The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gives the luster of midday to objects below. Where did that famous line come from? But what is going to happen is the moon will have this particular reddish kind of hue around it. And because it has, and why does it have a kind of a reddish hint? I mean, it's almost like there's going to be a cast of colors around the landscape that you hardly ever see any other time. So, it's worth getting up for, trust me. Even if you just poke
that'll
your nose
be, that,
on the
window. So that's basically,
yeah.
You said the 21st, so tonight, actually tonight.
It's tonight, that's right. It's
okay.
Tonight, the solstice. And it happens almost exactly the same time as the summer solstice, when they have the shortest day of the year. I think that that time, get exactly that time, when that's when the sun crosses over the equator. So we're having the winter solstice. The full moon is at 3:13 a.m., which, of course, is when the full eclipse is. That's what it's in its entirety. So maybe we'll have another, who knows, maybe Jesus will come back tonight or something with this kind of energy coming on the planet. He's supposed to be coming back, you know. That'd be great.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe so. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, I'll dream about it. How about that? I'll make sure that I think about it right before I go to sleep, and then maybe I'll dream about that. So I don't know. I wonder. Let's take a poll in the chat room. How many people are going to wake up at 3:15 this morning early and see and walk outside and take a look at the moon? And actually, some of our listeners, knowing them, they go outside and there's a big moon. They may start howling.
growing hair on their knuckles.
Have to be careful. So Pat, she's put yes down there in the chat room. Let's see however many other people are going to be out there listening. Brits and Grits will be there.
Probably.
Love for Poultry,
yeah,
probably.
Well,
Love for Poultry will be up at 3:15 anyway, because her roosters start crowing about 3 a.m., so they'll be up anyway with their roosters crowing.
Carlita's in. Granny Kathy's in. Everyone's in but you. I mean, you know, you're the odd man out. What can we say? But
I guess so. Maybe
it,
so.
It
I
is
guess
an
I'll,
event.
I'll be thinking about y'all. Somebody said drink lots of liquids before you go to bed, so you'll automatically have to get up at 3:15 anyway.
That's right.
I love that one.
That's right. Well, of course, the other nice thing, given that it's the winter solstice, is now, yes, the days start getting longer. It's about a minute a day. And as the days get longer, of course, chickens start laying more eggs because they've got that phototropic effect in their pituitary. So the days will start getting longer. Boy, it seems like they are so short, too. It was totally dark about 5:15 here last night. I was ready for bed.
Yeah, I love my long days. I can get so much more done. so much more done. And, yep, I completely agree. Okay, let me see what I've got in Chickens in the News. Let me switch over here. Bear with me. I don't have all my complete setup down here. It's all up in Atlanta, so you'll have to give me a few seconds while I pull up some Chickens in the News here. And this one's not very happy. I can tell you right now, it is not a very happy story, but I just wanted to share it with you, and I'll give you my 2 cents worth on it, which is probably worth 1 cent, but I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. Let's see what we've got here. Okay, this comes to us from treehugger.com, treehugger.com, a discovery company. And let's see, I guess it's probably the last couple of days, the 19th, it was sent. 400,000, just kind of grasp that number, 400,000 baby chicks were killed by a bankrupt poultry farm. 400,000 baby chicks killed by a bankrupt poultry farm. Poultry workers reportedly wept as they carried out the grim task overseeing the death of about 400,000 newborn chicks by drowning them in water or simply dumping them in rusty barrels outside where they would succumb to the freezing winter air. Around 600,000 more birds housed at Russia's Krasnaya Poliana poultry farm have died of malnutrition, and the lives of 3 million other birds await a similar fate. A $190,000 tax debt, says the farm, has forced them to declare bankruptcy, leading to this killing of chickens on a horrific scale. The poultry farm located in the region of Kursk is owned by Russian Parliament member Alexander Chetkov, and he says declaring bankruptcy, which has forced the death of about 1 million chickens, was his only recourse after he became the target of a political conspiracy aimed at putting him in financial ruin. He says a member of the Just Russia party says he ran a campaign to fight corruption in the region's leading United Russia-led government, and that they were looking for a possibility to settle their political and personal scores with me. But while the politicians' finances may have fallen victim to some shady political dealings, the millions of birds at his are the ones truly paying the price, he explains to the LA Times. We can't afford to feed the chickens anymore as we have no more money, and we continue to eliminate the remaining 3 million chickens. The unfair bankruptcy situation is not eased and the state does not come to our rescue. The local government disagrees, claiming that their claims against Chekhovov are legitimate and that his company owes nearly $100,000 in back taxes. With bankruptcy, the poultry farm has been ordered to eliminate its remaining birds, hundreds of thousands of baby chicks, before they grow big enough to adulthood. But the farm's employees, mostly women, earning a few hundred dollars a month, the task of killing so many birds is sickening. It's like a mother killing her children, said one worker, as she brought a crate of baby chicks to meet their fate. According to farm spokesperson Dmitry Noskov, it was decided that the chickens be disposed of swiftly instead of letting them slowly starve to death. After feed stopped arriving, baby chicks were dumped in the barrels outside the winter air before water was added to drown them. How sad is that? Adult birds were thrown into a – ready for this? I'm sorry I have to report this, folks, but you need to know the truth. Adult birds were thrown into a pit and then burned alive with a tractor.
Oh, God.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Buried alive. I'm sorry, not burned, buried. I was just kind of going through there. It just kind of caught me off guard. Yeah, a little bit different, but how different is that? Adult birds were thrown into a pit and then buried alive with a tractor. Hoping to spare some of the chickens, workers tried selling them and even offering them for free to families in the area. But there's just not enough people nearby to accept more than a small fraction of the fated animals. Farm operators even tried appealing to Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin to help, but got no response. When asked, even the members of the country's agriculture ministry failed to see why such inhumane measures were being carried out. This was the first time I've heard of such a problem, he said, of the food industry department. He told the LA Times, I don't understand why they are killing their poultry and not selling it to the population as they should. This, of course, a human toll to the bankruptcy as well. The farm's closure will result in hundreds of layoffs. but the memory of their final task of destroying the buds may haunt them for even longer than their unemployment. It was breaking my heart seeing the little ones die like this in the frost, said poultry worker. We worked around the clock to keep them healthy and comfortable, and now we're just killing them with our own hands. So very, very sad. You can see, I'll post this after the radio show on our Facebook page if you want to read through it. But, you know, what amazes me is that, you know, I'm sure in Russia, just like America, there's hungry people. And I don't understand why, you know, they couldn't have done something. I mean, I know that not a lot of facilities have the capability of dealing with, you know, millions of chickens, 400,000 baby chicks. I mean, where would you go? But I mean, I'm sure there's hungry people in Russia. There's hungry people all over the world. And here are all these chickens that could lay a lot of good, healthy, high-protein eggs for people, or actually could at least live a decent life before they are processed and cold and then fed the hungry. So, I mean, you would think that somebody would step up, because that's a lot of food that could feed a lot of people right there, either one way or the other, via eggs or meat. And it's just kind of amazing. That does amaze me, especially even here in America, when, you know, people, you talk about feeding the hungry, the spent hens that aren't laying after just 2 years because they're not you know, laying as much for the income of this farm, and, you know, how we could, you know, maybe feed the hungry with that. But, you know, and that's been mentioned on this radio show before, but who's going to take a million chickens? Who has the capability? You know, I don't have all the
answers.
Well,
I think they asked for help, it sounds like, from what you read, Whisper. The government was not forthcoming, and the agricultural department wasn't forthcoming. It sounds like it was kind of a setup, or you know, like he was saying, he was being persecuted. So you turn, I mean, a million chickens is a lot to deal with, and to just let them starve to death, I think, boy.
400,000 baby chicks, and they said over about 3 million full-grown chicks or chickens. And then it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't get it.
The logistics to that are enormous when you think about what it takes to bring in that amount of feed and water to that many birds. It's just, you know, mind-boggling to me. But anyway, we'll see what comes out of this. Certainly something will, there's got to be some bounce back to the positive or to resolve or whatever. If nothing else, it's more of an awareness, like the chat board is saying, you know, let's get three chickens in every house, spread all those millions of chickens around the countryside so we don't have such a concentrated area, and it is more more in favor of family flocks. So
it's just amazing. So other than that, fairly slow news over the weekend. Teacher Jen said, yeah, people stick their head in the ground when and bad things like this don't even exist. They just think, okay, we'll just ignore this and it never happened. Or if they think they ignore it or turn the other way, that it'll never happen. But, you know, I think that I was listening to a radio show probably Friday or sometime over the weekend, and there's a huge, 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 huge mammoth earmarks. There's a bill full of earmarks that apparently just passed or was about to pass, and they were just going down the list of the wasteful earmarks and pork that was snuck into this bill that passed. I know that I saw online that the food security bill had passed. They snuck that into another bill too, and they passed it. But the gentleman on the radio was going down the whole list of all the amount of money and what it was going to, and it was just sickening of all the millions and millions and millions of dollars that were being wasted of your money, our money, taxpayers' money, just all the money that was being wasted on these little earmarks. And, just makes you want to shake your head. And they're saying, oh, well, we have this big deficit. Well, if you stop, oh, geez, not a political show, not a show about, you know, that's all the waste, government waste, but it was just related to this story about the chickens and how the government wasn't going to help out with that to feed the hungry, but they have all this other government waste that they were doing. It was absolutely amazing. So another day, another dollar here in the great land of milk and honey. Well, we're going to take a break. It's about half past the hour, and we're going to go and we're going to welcome, of course, being the third Monday of the month, Aaron Mackley is going to join us, another great episode of the Preparedness Show. And today we will be talking all about all types of cookers. I'm looking forward to this. All types of cookers. Get your pen and paper out. When we come back, we'll bring on the line Aaron Mackley with the Preparedness Show. Don't worry, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. You know, depending on how prepared you are, whether you're prepared or not, Christmas will be here in just 5 more days.
Voices and the harmony that's sort of the sort of harmony that's in that, it's really hysterical. I wonder how many people it took to put that together. There must be a whole chorus.
I don't know, but it's quite funny. So 5 more days. All right, I hope you enjoyed that, folks. It's now time to go to the phone lines and bring on live Aaron Mackley with the Preparedness Show, being the third Monday of the month. Welcome back to the show, Aaron. We've missed you, and we're ready to learn all about different types of cookers. In fact, already in the chat room, somebody was wanting to learn all about the volcano cooker. So welcome to the show.
Well, Andy, I'm glad to be here. But I have to tell you before I do a little bit of singing, and I'm going to say the harmony has a little bit to be desired on those chickens. But, you know, we'll just have to deal with, you know, they probably haven't had a lot of voice lessons and things like that, but we'll go with that.
Well, no, Aaron, this is the operetta version of the chicken world. You know how long these guys
there
train?
We go. Well, it was an enjoyable little song to start our week on, that's for sure. Well, let's talk. Someone said they want to know about the volcano. We will be talking definitely about the volcano. It's one of my favorite stoves. But before we do that, I want to talk about some principles behind the concept that I want to talk about as far as saving fuel and being able to use multiple type of fuels in whatever we're using. In a preparedness environment, what we're looking for is to save fuel, because fuel will be very, very difficult to acquire if you don't already have it. After maybe the first short period, fuel will become very scarce unless you already have it on hand. And so what I want to do is I'm going to list a number of, very quickly at the beginning of this call, a number of the things that I like to have available for me in case that I need it for emergency purposes, and I occasionally use them so that I know how to use them. It's not like I use them every day. So I'm going to list a number of those things that I really like to use. First of all, probably the number one tool that anyone should have because it's very inexpensive, but you can get very easily, is a fire starter. It's one of those little fire chimneys you might get at Walmart or one of the box stores, big box Home Depot or Lowe's or Eagle Lumber or whatever. A lot of places sell fire starters. You know, they'll have little holes at the bottom, a little grill thing to set the either coal or wood or whatever, and then you know you light your fire in those. And I'll tell you a little bit in a few minutes why that's so important. That's my number one fuel or emergency device. If you don't have one, you should get one. Then listen to the call, and I'll tell you how to use it. Okay. Number mm-hmm. two is I'm going to come back and talk about different fuels in a minute. The next one that I like, obviously, is the volcano stove. Very briefly, the reason I like it is because you can use three different types of fuel in that particular stove. You can buy a propane attachment. You can do coal or charcoal, rather, or wood. And so anything that I use, I like to make sure that it has at least two, it can use two or more types of fuel. The more, the better, okay? The third item that I really like is a Dutch oven. And a lot of people use Dutch ovens, but we don't think about that in terms of emergency. But if you've learned how to use a Dutch oven, it has amazing capabilities. And, you know, we have a number of different videos about using it for more than just cooking. Well, we use it for cooking, but more than just, you know, just regular meals. It's such a wide variety of meals that you can use it, and you can cook it, you know, in the ground. You can cook it on top of the ground. If you have volcano, you can use it for that. Another one that I really like is the BRK. This, as a matter of fact, this is probably my highest rated cooking utensil, if you will, and it's the BRK pressure cookers. Now, they're a bit pricey as far as cooking utilities are concerned. The 20-inch mm-hmm. version, which comes with five pots and different things, is $199, and the 24-inch, which I would highly recommend, it's about $239. If I have time, I'll talk more about that, but they are absolutely versatile. I will use that one before I will use my the stove, the Dutch oven, my Dutch oven, and because it's so much faster. And speed, cooking fast, fast and long, and I'll explain what I mean by that, fast and long. You want to cook fast and then let it go, let it warm, stay warm for a long period. Okay, and we'll talk about that. So those are kind of the main principal ones. Then I also add on there's a propane oven stove made by Chef. What's the big camp? It's Camp Stove. Camp Chef. Camp Chef makes an oven slash stove that it runs on propane that is really good for being able to cook. And the nice thing most people don't think about is that by putting some tin foil, or I guess it's aluminum foil nowadays, aluminum foil down on the bottom, maybe two layers, putting charcoal in there, closing the doors with a small gap so it can let a little bit of the air out, you can actually cook inside of that stove without using propane. So I use it as an oven sometimes with charcoal, and I have tested it, and it works. It takes a little bit more trial and error, so I would recommend any tool that you're planning to use, you need to use two or three times ahead of time so you kind of get a feel for how the temperature works, because every unit, every tool, every device you're going to use will cook a little bit differently. You have to know where the hot spots are, where it's going to burn, mm-hmm. what you have to, you mm-hmm. know, how high to put it, those kind of things. So those are the tools that I really like to have. The fire starter, the volcano, the Dutch oven, and BRK, which is I highly recommend the BRK system. So hopefully I can talk a little bit more about that. But now I want to talk about using very minimal fuel. One of the reasons the fire starter is so important is because it is so versatile. Now, I'm not on a video, and so I'll have to describe this, and hopefully you can understand it.
Okay.
My stove, I call it a stove, my fire starter, I can cook a full meal in about 10 to 12 minutes of fuel. And then the piece of the thing that I didn't mention was a hay box. It's called a hay box. What it is an insulated box. You can make these on our website, bazoompa.com. Look under the video section. Look under search for hay box, just like it sounds, hay, H-A-Y, hay box. It shows you how to make an insulated box out of styrofoam, and then you put maybe some material inside. And what the whole purpose for that is you can take any pot or pan that you've cooked with, and say you're cooking on a stove or any other propane stove. You cook it, get it up to boiling for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then while it's at boiling temperature, you put it into this hay box, cover it with styrofoam insulate. Well, first maybe with some cloth, and I like to use wool around the outside, and then put that inside this insulated box. It's big enough to hold the pot, so you need to know what size of pot you're going to use and build it specifically for that. Then you put this insulated box, put it inside the insulated box, you cover it with the lid, which is also insulated, with about 2 to 3 inches of insulation, styrofoam insulation, and it will keep that pot hot for, 12 hours. Well, it only needs about 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours, for it to actually do a full cook, and you'll open that up, and you'll still be at 170, 190, maybe even 200 degrees, depending on the outside temperature. And so that's what I mean by fast and long. Everyone is familiar with a crock pot. The problem with crock pots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they require constant electricity. If you don't have the electricity, then you need to have a similar device, and that's what the hay box is. It becomes the insulation that will hold the temperature in. And so you get your pot. Once you take it off the stove, it's at boiling, okay, maybe for 2 to 3 minutes. You'll wrap it in, like I said, I much prefer using a wool blanket or something like that, and wrap it up and then put it in this insulated box, cover it up, keep it nice and tight, and literally 6-7 hours later, it will still be near boiling temperature if you've insulated well. Which means, and I have video on there that shows us eating the dinner. Now, we had gone almost 18 hours by the time we took that pot out, and it was 140 degrees after 18 hours. Now, you don't want your temperature to fall under 160, but normally you're going to eat in 4 to 6 hours, and you will have a full, I mean, if you put a roast beef, potatoes, or a stew, or anything you want into that pot, it will be cooked. And it will have only taken a few minutes of fuel. So I'm going quickly, and I apologize for that, but we don't have a lot of time.
No problem.
We have to do it that way. So let's talk about the fuel. We don't have a stove available. Let's assume that we don't have power. Again, this is an emergency situation. And if you don't have a generator or anything like that, if you have the fuel, you can cook your pot with whatever fuel you have. So what types of fuels do I like? Well, my primary one is propane for short term. And I say short term because once you've used up your propane, it will be very difficult to find replacement for your propane. So that's my short term fuel, but it's the most versatile fuel. You can find all sorts of pieces of equipment that use and heaters that use propane. So that's my short term emergency fuel, by far my recommended short term fuel. My second, when I start getting long-term fuel, if I needed more than a week or two of fuel, wood or charcoal. Now, charcoal, I have a big barrel. And you can get these at Army Surplus Stores. They're 50-gallon barrels. They're not 55 gallons. They're wider and shorter. But they come, it's like 18, 20 bucks for one of these. But you can put in the bottle, you can just put your charcoal in there, and one barrel will put enough charcoal in there if you keep it sealed so it doesn't get really a lot of moisture in there. And this is more moisture is more of a problem back in the east and maybe south. Up where I live in the Midwest, or not the Midwest, in the Western, you know, it's very dry out here, so we don't worry about the moisture. But if you do have to worry about moisture, just keep in mind that charcoal briquettes will absorb moisture. If you can dry them out, they will be as good as they were before. But if they do absorb a lot of that moisture, it will be more difficult to get them to light and everything, and they won't have as much heat. But if you keep them in a sealed container, you can either even put moisture, you know, little oxygen and moisture packs in there and keep that sealed as much as possible. You can keep charcoal for years, and it will still be good. But moisture is the number one problem. So if you have a place to store a 55-gallon, it can be outside and it can be cold. It's not a matter of cold. It's just a matter of the moisture. Okay, just keeping the moisture off. But their containers will seal. Matter of fact, they have things on the side that will tell you if you have too much moisture or not enough moisture. They're built for that kind of thing. So that's why they use charcoal. Wood is my secondary, and if I can't get charcoal, I can store a year's supply of cooking fuel easily by wood. And the reason I can do that is because I have learned to cook with about one 8 to 12 inch 2x4. That's enough to cook a full meal on my fire starter. And the way that I do that is if I have one foot of wood, I'll break that into 6 inches, or I'll slice it, and, you know, just trim it, you know, with a knife or a hatchet into things of half inch thick. So that it burns really nice, and then I'll break it into six inch pieces, and I will start the fire in there. Use about half of that wood. Let it get really hot. You have to put a little bit of an air gap on the top, because the top of your fire starter is flat. So if you put a pot right on there, it can't get oxygen to come out, and so your fire will die. You have oxygen coming from the bottom, but it has to go out the top. Okay. So what I do is I'll take aluminum foil and wrap it in some rolls, maybe so that it sticks up, you know, maybe a half inch, about the width of maybe your finger or so, and I'll put two of those parallel on top, lying on top, so that I can set my pan on top of that. That gives air gap, so that it has air that can flow out from underneath the pan. Okay? So now I've lit my fire in there, and it will get really hot in there, inside that fire stove, and I will get my pot to boiling. And then, you know, I might have to take my pot up, put a little, you know, some more of that wood in there, put it back on top, and let it keep heating up. But an 8 to 12 inch piece of 2x4 cut up so you can make kindling will heat about a 6 to 8 inch pan full of water to boiling for 2 minutes. Okay? So you want to keep it out of the wind, by the way, because wind really cools things off. The wind is your biggest deterrent to cooking. So if you can do it inside of an open garage so that the air can flow out but it's not getting the wind coming in, that's kind of the best place to cook, or outside of a wind flow area. Anyway, when you do that, now you've got that pot that's boiling. Now, so by the time that wood is consumed, then it's boiling for 2 to 3 minutes. I can take it, wrap it quickly, put it inside of my hay box, and within 4 to 6 hours, I can have a full meal, and a pot that big is going to feed a big family. Okay? So doing that once a day, I can easily store enough wood, because all I need is 1 foot per day of wood. Now, that may not be feeding us, you know, so we're really full, but it's a nice meal once a day. Then you might have, you know, whatever you can eat, snacks, or, you know, what you can find during the rest of the day. This, again, we're talking emergency type thing. And so for a year's supply of wood, 365 board feet of lumber of 2x4s. Well, that's only a stack of 10-foot boards that's about, you know, 4 wide and about 9 high, or 18 by 16. And nobody... There is no ordinance that I am aware of in any country, any state, or any county that says you can't store lumber. And so you know, they say firewood. It's not firewood. It's lumber. And they don't. So if you have a garage, you can put that up in even in the rafters, and you've got a supply of wood. That's why I say my fire starter is my number one wood thing. Now, let's jump to the volcano because people asked about that. The volcano is a similar concept. It has air that flows through the bottom. You can go to that website. Their website is volcanogrills.com, I believe is the official website. I used to sell them. I'm not selling those anymore, but I really like to sell them. You can use a volcano. I'm sorry. The volcano is a collapsible stove that comes with a bag. And I've done this before. I don't recommend doing this, but you can put your hand on the bottom of that stove while it's at boiling temperature, okay, with charcoal or wood or propane. So you can, again, three types of fuel that you can put in there, right? So I have actually taken that because it has little legs that you pop that out, and it will stand on these legs, and it's deep enough to put a 12-inch Dutch oven inside there. And when that's cooking, I do a lot of stuff with Scout. I leave my back door open, and I've literally taken that volcano with my Dutch oven inside of it, put it in the back of my van with the back door open, and I open my windows because it has carbon monoxide, a lot of carbon monoxide, so it's kind of a dangerous thing. And I've driven for, 5 miles to take it from one place to another place, and then I take it out. But the point is, it doesn't burn the back of my car. Now, I don't recommend necessarily doing that, but the point that I'm trying to emphasize is that it's safe. You can sit it on top of a table, you can carry it, and when you're done cooking, you pour out the ashes, and you collapse it really quick, and it goes in its little bag, and within literally 2 to 3 minutes after you're done cooking, it's cooled off. So the volcano stove is a tremendous asset to have. I think they're about $97 right now, and with the propane burner and everything, I think it's $159, $200. I don't know exactly what the pricing is on it now. But if you're going to get it, I would highly recommend getting the propane grill part that goes with it to give you a third, propane that goes with charcoal and wood. So you can have multiple ways of using that. And cooking with it is a little bit different. You don't have to use top heat because it's keeping the heat around the side. So you don't have to use top heat. The charcoal, you don't have to put charcoal on the top of your Dutch oven if you're cooking in the volcano. So you save fuel. Again, the whole purpose is saving fuel. Okay? How much more time do I have here?
You got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
Okay, great. Keep going then. Okay, now, the next piece that I really like and I want to talk about is the BRK Dutch ovens. And that is, I do sell those on my website. If you went to pazumpa.com/BRK, it will take you right to the shopping cart page for you. And I just put that in this morning because I knew I'd talk about it. But it has a video that shows you how to use those. Now, that's the 20-inch. The 24, I have the 20-inch because they didn't have the 24 when I first bought mine. But I tell you, I love the pressure cooking system. And the reason is, I take it Scout. My Scouts much prefer me to bring my pressure cooker than my Dutch oven, because the pressure cooker, I can actually cook a full meal in maybe 10 to 15 minutes, where the Dutch oven might take 2 to 3 hours. Again, the amount of time requires more fuel. So I can get that heated up and boiling and then turn my temperature down and keep it at pressure. When I say, I shouldn't say boiling, I should say at full pressure. And the nice thing is, it has a little pop-up thing that says I'm at full pressure. And then with one, it has a one hand, you can click on the outside and open that up. And when it's done, it has a way to release the pressure first. Once the pressure is released, and you can tell that the steam has dropped down, then with one hand, you can click on the two sides and open up the lid. And it's that simple. But it comes with, it's all full stainless steel. It's got multiple layers along the bottom so that it spreads the heat out. It's one of the best cooking devices. We use it on our stove at home. So you can use it on a cook stove, just a regular. We have one of those glass top ovens or stoves. And you can use that. So some pressure cookers you cannot use on a glass top stove, but my wife uses it all the time at home. And it's got a 4-inch pot, or it's got an 8-inch pot, and then it also has a steamer and all of the other. So it's a very good cooking system. But I use it for an emergency because with that I use, if I'll put that particular pot on top of my my fire starter, I'm certain that that will be cooked well enough because I've got it up to pressure with the same amount of fuel that would take another pan to come to boiling and then try to keep it. And so I will just immediately put that in to my once it's at full pressure, I will take that off and I don't have to have it on there any longer. Once it hits full pressure, it's at full pressure. I don't have to keep it on there longer. And I wrap that in my my blanket, my wool blanket. Put that into my my hay box, and within maybe 20 to 30 minutes, just slightly longer than if I were still cooking it, I'll just kind of check it every now and then, and when the pressure light or when the pressure button drops down, I'll say we're done. Now, when the pressure button drops down, means it's still very, very hot. It's just not at extreme pressure. It's still probably at 190 degrees. Or so. I don't exactly know what pressure it pops up at, but so I can cook a full meal that way with that pressure cooker in much less fuel. But the nice thing about that is this type of pressure cooker I can use all the time in my home. So I know exactly what to expect from my cooking. And that's why I recommend that. It's I'll tell you, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, it's for someone who, and I'm going to say, who likes the outdoors. I talked to this guy about a hunting guy. Now, I've been doing it for emergency, and he said, I think I'd like that for hunting. And after he came back, he says he got one, and then after he went hunting with it, he got two more. But he says, because, I got in these week-long hunting things. I get one pot of this, and I have another pot of that. And he says, my Dutch oven's now just sitting in the corner because he uses that so much more. So it's, I just can't say enough about that. It's just a great emergency tool. But, again, it's a pricey unit. $200 for the four-five-piece set, I think it is. And if I were to get one again, I would go for the 24-inch rather than the 20-inch. That's mm-hmm. the diameter, I think, around the outside or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it's a little bit bigger pot. It's 1 inch taller and a little bit wider. One is 5-quart and the other one's 6.5-quart, I think, is the difference. So anyway, and then both of them come with the shorter pot. So it actually has two pressure cookers, and the same pressure cooker lid works on both. So the principle behind the different cooking systems is the least amount of fuel that you can get by with, and then the hay box. I'm going to tell you another version of the hay box. You can actually, the little beanbag chairs that they sell? You can get one of those beanbag chairs, one that's maybe it's kind of been smushed around too much and you kind of don't want to use it, or, they're sitting around. You maybe pick one up for at a secondhand store for $5 probably if you look around. Once in a while, you can find them. Or you can just go online and search for beanbag beads, and you can probably get a bag of those. Anyway, you can sew a bag to fit inside of a box. And I kind of like those better because I'll put a double or triple layer of fabric around the top part of that bag. And the advantage of that is it will... You kind of make a bottom piece and then a top piece that comes on and puts over the top. And you can just put it in any basket, and that will keep that heat all consumed in, and you just put something over the top to hold it down. And it just makes it nice, and it's a more decorative way, if you will, of using that same principle of keeping it in the stored, an insulated environment. And I think somewhere on our Pazoompa website we have some videos of the different types of hay boxes and different things like that. So those are the principal units that I have that I like to use is, you know, fire starter number one because it's inexpensive. Then I would go to the volcano stove. It's a little bit more expensive but more versatile in how you can work with it. It collapses and you can use it. And then for cooking, the Dutch oven and the BRK stove, and then you want to have your hay box. With those, and then if you want to go more expensive, you can go to the oven, the propane oven that I said that you can also put charcoal. It's you can find those at Camp Chef, and I don't sell those, but you can find those. And the reason I don't sell them anymore is because you got some of these. They used to be a fairly decent markup, but now you got some of these big stores that buy them in bulks, and they put the price down to like $5 more than what I can get them for myself. It's just not even worth it. So you can look around, find those Camp Chef's ovens, and then put on the bottom of that some aluminum foil, put some charcoal in there. You can't use wood, but you can use propane or charcoal. But if you use charcoal, you have to open the door just a little bit and watch your temperature a little bit more closely.
Hey, Aaron, we got a question in the chat room about any thoughts on liquid fuel stoves.
Well, what I do, kerosene is my propane is first, then kerosene. The nice thing about kerosene is it can store for 2 or 3 years. After 3 or 4 years, it starts getting less. You know, a lot of people say after 1 year you have to replace it. But I've had kerosene for 3 or 4 years and it still works. It's not quite as efficient as it was before, but it will still work. And that's another kind of a secondary topic is I also use. You've probably seen some of those kerosene stoves that kind of look like a pipe with lids over the top of it. And kerosene stoves, you can actually put, I will tell you right now, they will tell you not to do this. In the manuals, they say don't do it. But if I'm in an emergency situation, I'm going to put my pan, and that's the stove that I have, I'll put a pan right on top of that and I'll cook. You just want to make sure that you're not spilling oil and stuff or anything into that stove. So, you know, you have to be more careful. So I use kerosene. I also use propane. Propane, again, short-term because it has to be pressurized and it's harder to find refill for that. There is another stove lantern cooking device that I have sold for a lot of years, and I haven't mentioned it yet today, and that is the Bright Light, BRITELYT, Bright Light. I sell those once in a while, but I do it in big group orders. But you can go to brightlight.com, and it is a multi-fuel stove that will be pressurized, but you pressurize it by hand. And they have some units that you can put on to make it so that there's a screw-on thing that you can put a bicycle pump and pump it up really fast, and that's what I try to use. But they're a highly, I'll call it mechanical piece of equipment. It's not moving parts, but there's a lot of parts with the pressure and everything, and a lot of people have a struggle getting to work without smelling and stuff like that. But the advantage is I can use any liquid fuel, including white fuel such as, Coleman fuel. But most people don't realize that Coleman fuel is essentially the same thing as gasoline without the additives. So in that stove, I can also use gasoline, or I can use kerosene, or I can use airplane fuel, or I can use just about any liquid fuel. As a matter of fact, none that I have tested didn't work. Some work. Alcohol. You can burn alcohol fuel. Let me tell you about another little anyway, so that's the Bright Light Lantern Stove Heater. It's a very good piece of equipment. Once in a while on our website, if you're signed up on my newsletter, and just go to my front page and sign up on the newsletter, we notify people when we're going to do a big group order on those, and then we give good discounts because they're a bit expensive, like $200 to $300 for the full set. But it's a very, very good piece of equipment. But it does take some learning how to use it. But the military are contracting with them because they are so versatile, easy. I mean, you can replace all the parts. They are built with brass and stainless. stainless steel and high-quality equipment pieces so that they will be a lifetime equipment. It's not like some of the Coleman stoves, the things that you're going to pick up for $29 at Walmart or something. And they're, you know, they're not going to last the same. They're not as durable. Anyway, so that's the bright light lantern, which I do. I can cook on top of that as well. It puts out 13,000 BTUs. If you don't understand that, that means, 20,000 BTUs will heat a 600 square foot area. Okay, so 13,000 BTUs will heat a full room, keep a full room at comfort. Pretty much indefinitely if you're careful. One thing about cooking with fuels, different fuels, you need to understand what type of fuels give off what types of exhaust. Some will give off carbon dioxide, some will give off carbon monoxide, and some will give off just water vapor. Everything that burns consumes oxygen. So there's the concept of giving off extra and the concept of consuming the oxygen you have in a room. So anytime you're burning anything, you should have some form of air that's coming in. So if I'm burning some form of a fuel indoors, I always have maybe a small crack in the window. It doesn't take very much, maybe like an eighth-inch crack. And you say, well, yeah, but it's going to take all my heat. Well, yeah, in an environment where you're in an emergency, you just kind of have to deal with that kind of stuff. But you have to have oxygen, replace the oxygen that you're consuming with the burning. But the most safe fuel for burning indoors is alcohol, because it gives off water vapor. It does not give off carbon dioxide, and that's why a lot of boats, you'll see them use alcohol, because they want fuel that they can cook in an enclosed area. And other than having to have to replace oxygen that it's burning up, it will not give off fumes or chemicals, molecules. So the next one is kerosene. Kerosene gives off carbon dioxide, as does propane. Gives off carbon dioxide. Now, if it's not burning cleanly, it can also give off slight amounts of carbon monoxide, but it's very slight amounts, and with the replacement of oxygen, you should be safe. And, of course, I'm going to give this tell them, you guys have to pay attention, you know, read up on it yourself. I'm giving you the basic information, but if you don't follow the right rules, you know, don't say Aaron Mackley told you to close your room and burn off all your oxygen or something like that. Trying to tell you, you got to be safe. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. So, kerosene and propane are your next safest fuels for burning indoors. You can do it, but you do have to have some airflow. Carbon dioxide, we breathe off carbon dioxide. That's what we exhale. Okay, we breathe in oxygen, give off carbon dioxide. Okay. So carbon dioxide in and of itself is not a problem. It's just that if you consume all of the oxygen, then the carbon dioxide, you can't get enough oxygen in your bloodstream. That's the danger of carbon dioxide. However, carbon monoxide will replace oxygen, and it will kill you. And I know this because I've had a sister die from carbon monoxide poisoning. I understand the principle very, very well. So, number one, carbon monoxide, anything that you're burning, such as charcoal, gives off copious amounts of carbon monoxide. So I will tell you, never, never use carbon monoxide inside, ever. You just don't do it. Your charcoal needs to be burned outside, and you don't want to have a breeze where that's blowing in, because you will smell it and you'll get it, okay? Remember when I said in the car that I was driving with that's why I opened all the front windows and the back door, and while I was driving, I was pushing that out, and that lasted maybe about 3 to 4 minutes, because that would consume, in a minute, it would get
it would give a, I don't know if it's a deathly amount in that amount of time of carbon monoxide, but you can feel it or you can smell it. So you just got to be careful with what you're doing with the gases that it gives off. Now, I don't know if I answered adequately about the fuels, the liquid fuels. So if there's other questions in the chat room, please let me know because I'm not seeing that today.
I will. I sure will.
Okay. So anyway, my next favorite tool, obviously, is my Dutch oven. Dutch ovens are so versatile. I mean, you can cook, you can bake, you do stews. If you have started using a Dutch oven, if you're a Dutch oven fan, you know what I'm talking about. The nice thing about a Dutch oven is that, and I prefer the cast iron. They make aluminum ones now, and they're great for backpacking or different things like that. But they have a tendency to heat a little bit more to get hotter burn spots or hotter spots and things like that. I just like the Dutch ovens, the traditional cast iron Dutch ovens. But the nice thing about them is you can use the ground as an insulation device. This is one I've taught from my grandmother taught me this one, is she would make coals from the fire, and she would put coals in, she'd dig a small pit, and then she would put whatever she was cooking from cakes to cobbler to everything, you know, meat dishes, and she would dig this and put it into the ground. Then she would put the Dutch oven in, and then she would cover it up and then mark where she put it. Actually, you can usually tell, but she'd cover it with dirt and leave it there for, 4 to 6 hours, whatever, depending on what she was cooking. Then she would take take it out of the ground. Again, the Dutch oven has that lid that's going to build a nice seal around it. You're not going to get dirt in your food. So she takes that off. She has a little broom. She brushes it all off, opens that up, and she's got a fully cooked meal. So, again, with a little bit of fuel, putting it into the ground, you can cook. And even in the winter, once it heats up, it might take just a little bit of fuel, a little bit more fuel. Once you heat it up, you've got your fire burning in that pit, it will heat up the ground around it, so that when you put the soil back over the top, you've still got the insulated layer, and it's roughly the same temperature. And your Dutch oven, it might take a little bit. It will cool off just a little bit faster in the winter, but it still works. And so that's a form of Dutch oven. Now, I remember I was at a competition, a Dutch oven competition once. This was in my early days of doing Dutch oven. And I could not get my Dutch oven to heat up. And the guy said, dig a hole and put your coal in there, because I had too much breeze. There was just a little breeze that kept, and I was cooking right on the ground, and all these other guys had their nice, all cool. He said, just dig a hole. So I dug a hole, and within minutes, when I couldn't even get it hot enough to get it ever up to boil or anything like that. But as soon as I did that, it just came right up to temperature, put the lid on top. And of course, I didn't cover it with dirt at that point because, you know, I didn't know enough about it, but it worked just really well. And the reason is the air stayed away from the charcoal, and it wasn't making my charcoal get cold, and it would blow the heat away from my pan instead of heating my Dutch oven pot. And so that was just kind of a trick. You got to keep your air flow away from your charcoal briquettes to let the heat be right on top of that pot and heat up that the sides, the bottom and the side. But the nice thing about the volcano stove is it will channel the heat up and around and kind of flow the air around the Dutch oven, so it's actually heating the sides as well as the bottom, and that's why you don't have to use top heat, and then you can damper it down so that there's almost no airflow. So you start at getting the charcoal hot until they're really hot and you got your pot up. Then you'll damper it down as if you're putting it in the ground. You kind of have to cook the same way. But you don't have to put anything over the top because the top of your Dutch oven lid will be hot, and that will keep your heat. If you really want to brown it, you can maybe put, normally they'll say, if you have a 12-inch Dutch oven, you'll say for a typical meal, you might go 24. You take the diameter of your pot, 12 inches, multiply that by 2, so I have 24 briquettes, and I'll put half minus 2, so in a case 12 would be 10 on the bottom, and half plus 2, 14 on the top, okay? But in the charcoal, when you're using a volcano stove, you kind of throw that rule out, and you put about two-thirds of what you would normally put on the bottom, particularly around the outside, and then a few or more on the center. So you kind of make an outside circle and then an inside circle, put your Dutch oven on top of that. The outside circle is heating the sides, the edges and the sides, and then the pot you don't need to. But if you really want to brown it, you might put maybe 3 or 4 briquettes on the top. But all of the people who are really good at cooking with the volcano stove, I haven't mastered it yet like some of the other people that I've seen. They just don't use charcoal on the top at all, ever. And I just haven't been able to do it quite that good yet. So, okay. Any questions?
Not so far. Someone was actually mentioning about putting the coals on the top of the Dutch oven before you had mentioned that. So that was perfect timing for what they were talking about. But we do have to wrap it up here in the next couple of minutes. We've got some different trivia to give away. Okay.
Yeah. Aaron, could you just say a little bit about how to make your own charcoal?
You know, I've never experimented much with it. I know that there's a process. There's some good videos on YouTube that I've seen, but it seems to me that the work that they go through to get charcoal is far more complex and painful than just simply going and storing. You know, when they have it on discounts at the end of the fall is when you want to buy your charcoal and then put it in the can. So I haven't made it myself, and frankly, after watching the videos, I don't think I'm going to. I think I understand the principle, but you have to, you know, you have to have this little oven that cooks them and all this stuff. It's just not worth it to me. And I will say this: I don't like to drop the names of particular companies, but in this case, I will. The Kingsford. You ask any of the Dutch oven people, go with your Kingsford charcoal. They're just better.
Okay.
I've used some of the other brands. Just go with your Kingsford. They start better. They last longer. They're consistent temperature. And I think they say that you can average roughly 23 degrees per charcoal briquette if you're in a controlled environment, give or take. Now, if you're on an open floor right on the ground, you might need a little bit more. If you're in the stove or, you know, you're in deep inside of a pit, maybe a little bit less because it'll hold the heat in longer. So, but, you know, that's kind of a rule of thumb that they've given me. But the concept of the double your diameter, plus 2 on top, minus 2 on bottom, and that's kind of the rule of thumb for how much charcoal briquettes, I'm going to say Kingsford charcoal briquettes you need. If you go with some of the other ones, just kind of add more. I don't buy anything but the Kingsford anymore. And I don't get all the real fancy kind of stuff. I just get the basic Kingsford charcoal briquettes, you know, and I buy them in bags of 2 and keep them in the plastic and in those bags and put them in the bottom. I don't pour them all into there. I keep them in their original bags and just stack them inside that barrel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
One more real quick question. USMC Vet was asking, is there a reference somewhere a material regarding emissions of various fuels that you know of?
Well, only the one that I have on my website, and it's on there somewhere. In the fuel section, I have some videos about different fuels. I've just done a lot of research I've looked up a lot of different fuels and tried to find what they have. What I would do is say charcoal emissions and the name of the fuel. I'm sorry, not charcoal, emissions or gases and the name of the fuel.
Hang on, folks.
George!
I don't know what's going on, Aaron.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, anyway, so that's kind of what I do is, you know, a lot of times I'll do this training and it'll take 2 or 3 hours to kind of show all the principles, and particularly the fire starting. using that fire thing, and I have some videos on there about my fire starting, and I've learned to take, you know, I teach my scouts, I give them a log, and I teach them to use a knife, which scouting doesn't like that, a fixed blade, you know, knife, not a pocket knife, and I teach them how to build fire from a log, meaning they have to get the kindling out of there and learn how to break it apart. Because I think it's and I have a video that kind of shows that principle, and I've taken, the reason is I can take a log that's soaking wet, but I can split that log open, go down to the center, and I've got dry wood that I can start a fire with.
Oh, wow.
So a knife, I take a knife, I think a fixed blade knife that has at least a 4 1/4 inch, I like about a 5 1/2 inch blade, but 4 1/4 inch, good steel knives, and I have some videos on my website about knives, and having those in your emergency kit is vital. A good fixed blade knife, good either a stainless steel, but I like actually the carbon steel a little bit better. I could talk to you an hour about knives and fire starting too, but I won't do
that. Maybe that's a good topic for another show coming up, Aaron, but looks like we're running out of time here. My goodness, I've got so many notes here. I hope to not ever have to really need them, but it's good to know if I need to cook without when the electricity goes off or my propane runs out, so how valuable can that be?
Let me tell you one thing that I do recommend. I recommend, everybody likes to do out, you know, backyard grills and camping and stuff like that. I recommend that people take one of their evenings that they're going to do that and try it. And then, you know, try it with a piece of lumber, a 2x4, split it up into pieces and use their fire starter and see if you can get it working like that. If it doesn't work the first time, try it again 2 or 3 times until you kind of, hey, I can do this. And once you've done it, you have the mental image of what you have to do. So when you do your backyard, you want to use your tools before you have to use your tools.
Right.
And that's why.
Okay.
So it's in your party environments. Just kind of have fun and see if other people can do it and those kind of things.
Okay, great advice. We've been talking with Aaron Mackey. He's from Emergency Preparedness. And Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the show and joining us. It's just been amazing, as usual. So, Whisper, anything you have to add?
No, thank you very much, Aaron, for coming on. Thank you for a wonderful year. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and we'll return back in January. Pazumpa.com, www.pazumpa, right? Is that right, Aaron?
Pazumpa, Pazumpa. Mm-hmm.
Pazumpa. Pazumpa.com. Visit them. Lots of great information there. Pazumpa.com. I posted it in the chat room several times during the radio show, so you can visit. And another great episode of the Preparedness Show, learning all about different types of cooking stoves and cookers. So that is absolutely awesome. And I know on a previous show you've talked about the solar ovens as well. So you can go back and listen to the archives regarding that. So thank you very much, Aaron. We hope you and your family have a blessed holiday weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Aaron.
All righty, folks, we've got about 2 minutes left. I guess we can maybe get this done very, very quickly. We'll take caller number 7. Caller number 7, today's chicken trivia question, what city am I currently broadcasting from today? How easy is that? What city am I broadcasting live from today? If you know the answer, caller number 6, 347-637-3237. You're going to have to call in fast. We're running out of time, about a minute and 58 seconds left. 347-637-3237. You'll win a Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farms. Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. Visit them online at hensaver.com. What city am I broadcasting live from today? Call number 6, 347-637-3237. We'll win today's Chicken Trivia Prize. Tune in tomorrow, folks, right here on Blog Talk Radio, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great show. We're working on a couple of really great guests. We're going to surprise you with that. If I find out later today, I'll put that on our Facebook page, of course, and you can join us. So what city am I broadcasting live from today? If we don't get a caller here, then we'll just save that prize for Facebook later today or tomorrow as well. Okay, here, now the phone lines are starting up. I know we're on a little bit of a delay, just a little bit of a delay here. So what city am I broadcasting live from today? Caller number 6, one more caller. We're up to 5. I know we're on about a 30-second delay. One more caller.
347-637-3237. There we go. Going live to caller number six. All righty, you're live on the air with Andy and Pat, caller calling in from area code 229. If you'll state your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Kevin. I'm calling from Bakersfield, California.
Hey, and Kevin, where are we broadcasting live from today?
I think Ideal, Georgia.
That is correct. Ideal, Georgia. We've got 32 seconds left of the show. So, Kevin, you know the drill. You've won before. Thank you so much for listening all the way out there on the West Coast in California from Bakersfield. And just send me over via Facebook or email your shipping address, and I'll get that over to Crazy K Farm. All right, just a couple of seconds left. So, Pat, very, very quick.
There we go. May the flock be with you all. God bless you all. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Bye.